You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God. Now, Senior Minister, Reverend Carolyn Mathlin.
Good morning, and happy Mother's Day. This is a very special day, and it's a very tender day. Giving you a heads up now, you'll laugh, you will most likely cry. I've been, as I was listening to some of the music that we will be hearing today, I started to tear up, so just fair warning. Let yourself be moved in whatever way that you are being stirred to, because it means we're actually penetrable to the divine. When we're moved in a particular way, there's actually a capacity for God to really move and be in us in profound ways. So I invite you to really say yes to that. So as we enter into this Mother's Day service, this experience where we celebrate mothers and that mothering quality within each of us, let us begin with prayer. So I invite you to close your eyes as we take a deep breath in and out. And feel the sacredness of this time where we do come together and say yes. Say yes to walking a conscious spiritual path, to being changed and growing, to being healed or returning to that original state of wholeness. And to becoming the embodiment of the divine. Christ in you, your hope of glory. The hope of glory. And so, O Holy One, essence of all that is, as we center in that Christed consciousness, we know there is not a spot where God is not. And we open to seeing and living all of the ways that God shows up in our life and in the world, to being a powerful presence for God. With every breath, with every word, and with every action. And so it is. Amen. This is a community. And when Cherie and Tim got married, actually in the sanctuary, and then had faith was raised in this community. And it's, I feel like the country doctor now, you know, like the people that I saw born are now graduating, and it's just, I mean, how precious and special to be able to share in this journey with you both and with our graduates that are launching out. And you know, with all of my heart, my prayer is that the love that you have experienced as a family here and that the teachings that you hold faith will launch you into all that is perfect for you. Yeah. And it's interesting, I was trying to remember my first talk that I ever gave here was on a Mother's Day. And I remember Cherie and I remember Stephanie Aho and her daughter, I think, saying, and I'm thinking it was you, Cherie, and Faith as well, the four of you. So how kind of poignant that 10 years later, and how beautiful we get to once again embark on this Mother's Day journey together. And it is a journey, it is a path. You know, the the kind of more opaque talk title of Architects of Evolution doesn't sound very motherly, but the truth is, that's exactly what mothers are, right? You know, that whatever your relationship with your mother was, you know, both your family of origin becomes the base point from which you move and you evolve. It creates the structures of what you take in, what you discard, what you say, you know, I hear that belief, but I choose not to believe it anymore. And you take on new ones, or you say, you know, this is a really important value that I have from my childhood, that as mothers, as parents, you pass on to your children, and as children you say, yes, this is something I really value. But it really, the motherhood becomes the structure of this, and the design of what we receive in our spiritual journey. It becomes the baseline of the tools that we get. And I was reflecting a lot, you know, Mother's Day, having now lost my mother, and for those of you who have had that experience, that I don't care how old you are, I don't care if you are 70 and your mother is 90, when your mother finally passes, or that mother figure in your life, you feel like an orphan. You know, there's an aspect of that final kind of moment where it just, you know, something is different. So every Mother's Day has had its variety of interesting, you know, moments for me as I've walked through, you know, 6 years now of celebrating Mother's Day without a mother. And sometimes it's more fun, and sometimes it's more sad, and sometimes it's just kind of more neutral. And just like any kind of major holiday, you just never know until you're in the midst of it which one it's going to be. Just like any experience that we walk through. So if you are in one of those places, whether you're a mother and you're feeling tenderness, or you are reflecting on your own mother, you know, just know wherever you are is perfect, and it's right where you need to be. And whatever Hallmark tells you, or whatever, you know, really touching special tells you about what mothers should and shouldn't be, just know, you know, the experience that you're having is the right one for you. And the last thing you want to do is censor yourself in that. Which leads me to this Mother's Day, I've been reflecting on some Barbara-isms. She had them. My mother was she was more direct than not. For example, when my dad passed away when I was 16, and you know, it was a devastating experience in our family's journey, and someone said something to the effect of, you know, he made his transition, or he passed through the veils, and my mom said, he died. Let's not call it anything other than he died. So, I mean, there she had that quality to her. But one of the things that I just, I loved that actually is a really high spiritual teaching that she passed on to me was when moms would complain or be concerned, you know, more in the concern, like especially when you're a new mother, you know, you're reading all the baby books, or you're pregnant and you're reading all the baby books, right? You know, finding out, okay, what can I expect? Is the fetus an eggplant size now? Is it a, you know, what should it be doing? Should I be having morning sickness? Should I be gaining this much weight? And then when the baby's born, should we be sleeping through the night? Should, you know, there's all of these measurements of, you know, is everything okay? Which, you know, as a mother, that's a good thing to ask. Is everything okay? One of mom's primary responsibilities when a baby is born is to make sure baby is safe and cared for. But especially in our modern era, where we have a lot of people telling us what is okay, it can become a challenge. And my mom, when moms would, you know, share with her their concern, and she was 39 when she had me, so she was an older mother to begin with. She would say this: babies don't read the baby books. minute to let the profoundness of that sink in. Because this isn't just about babies, right? You know, is my baby isn't talking yet. Is this a problem? Only if you make it a problem. The baby did not read the baby book. Is my baby should be walking by now. No, not yet. You know, yes, if the baby isn't walking by four, we have, you know, you might want to address it. But typically, we're so hypersensitive to, is everything okay? And measuring against others, which is also a big deal, right? Well, that two-year-old is doing, you know, forming complete sentences already. What's wrong with my child? Babies don't read the baby books. This has implications in our spiritual journey later as well, right? You know, we start applying and looking at our spiritual teachings and our principles and maps of consciousness. And this is what, you know, when you've reached a certain level of maturity, this is what it looks like. This is how you should be behaving. Our soul doesn't read the books. Our soul, there's a natural, intuitive knowledge that we all have. And my mom, when moms would be all upset, you know, she'd say, just listen to your heart. Trust your gut. And relax. It's okay. You know, kind of what Nevin was saying, you know, you're doing a good job. If you're on, and when we look at it from a spiritual context, if you're on a spiritual journey, your intention is way more important than measuring out, okay, what should I be doing here? Or am I reaching this level of attainment yet? Or do people see me that way? Or what's that? How's that person's meditation practice going? I need to be more like him or her. There's this great story that Father Thomas Keating tells about his time in one of the monasteries, and there was this older monk who would come in, and he would he'd be sitting on a chair, I believe, and they would both be in silent meditation, and Father Keating would be on the floor kneeling, and it came out that both of them had stories about the other one of how much more enlightened the other one was because of what they were doing. We have a natural human need to feel like we have to compare. And on our spiritual journey, the answer is, the truth is, that we are right where we need to be. And to follow our intuition, listen during meditation time, know what is ours to do. And the standards, the ideas of where we should be or what should be happening or all of that kind of stuff that we can get into actually becomes a detriment. It makes us more anxious. It keeps us stuck. The truth is, you know, and this is why I love centering prayer practice. You know, there's this, it's based on the truth that we are naturally oriented to heal. We are naturally oriented to grow. We are naturally oriented to be in union with God. The only block is when we pull ourselves out of it. And one of the ways we pull ourselves out of it is by saying, I should, or we should, and all, you know, all of that. So next time you're starting to compare yourself, or you moms are starting to go, you know, my child is like this and not like that, and should this be a concern? I was reading, there's this book by Virginia Grohl, Dave Grohl, one of the singer or the drummer in the Foo Fighters, a rock band, for those of you who don't know what the Foo Fighters are, which I'm sure is not anyone in this room. I'm sure you all are huge rock fans. She talked with 20-some moms of rockers, or people in the music industry in one form or another. Pretty much most of those rockers were the ones that were not conforming to the way things are supposed to be. And some of the moms were supportive of it, some of the moms had no choice but to be supportive of it, and some of them were not as supportive. And it was interesting to kind of see how each of those journeys, you know, unfolded. But we never know what these little souls that come into our world are going to be, are really here for. The babies don't read the baby book. And the more we can relate just from a soul level, what are you needing? What is being called forward? How can I be here to love and nurture you? Not what society says you should be doing, but what is really true and real and perfect for you? And this applies to us too. That's the gift that we can give to ourselves and to our children. Because babies don't read the baby book. Another one that was really important in my house was not only spirituality, but spirituality in church. And they really were non-negotiable. You know, a lot of kids will say, I don't want to go or whatever. Well, that I pulled that a couple times, but that was just not, it was not a thing. It was just not going to happen. My mom was raised in Christian Science, and she knew the value of spirituality. I was raised with affirmations, I was raised with Bible verses, I was raised with positive, you know, music, you know, much like I'm guessing you were, so spirituality was really important. What I see sometimes is that we think our spirituality is, or at least from my mom, and therefore I've developed this value as well, obviously, because I'm a minister. spirituality alone is like kind of floating on top of a lake. There's not a groundedness to it, at least from my experience. And so in our family, it wasn't just about spirituality. It wasn't just about reading books and about saying affirmations. It was about participating in a community, being involved, having that groundedness of something beyond just our personal interpretation of spirituality and living life. There was about a year and a half where my mom stopped coming to church, and therefore so did I. And I think our family felt it, you know, and reflecting back, there was this sense of disconnection from something greater that a church represents, a church community represents. You know, not only is there an opportunity to be filled every week or multiple times a week if you come, but there's also this sense of we do not walk this path alone. And in our greatest triumphs and in our greatest tragedies, there's a community here to hold us, to support us. And that was not negotiable for my mom. That was really important to her, that we be a part of and stay connected to and serve, actually, this community that had served us so much. And I'm really grateful for that value. You know, of course, I'm sure you don't do this, but, you know, there'll be times with the church, you know, or they did this, or the air was always too cold. They run the air conditioning too cold. I can't sit through another service when the air conditioning's too cold. And I said, who do you think they is? It was me at that point. I said, there's nothing we can do about it. Just bring a jacket. You'll be fine. But there was this, you know, there's this sense of even when she would complain, it was still more important to stay connected. Because in the complaints, there's an orientation to my perspective is truth, right? Instead of what we talked about a couple weeks ago of there's space for other truth. There's space for a higher truth. And staying connected, staying engaged in this form of spiritual practice is one of the highest ways, just like parenthood, you can't help but be changed when you're a parent, right? I mean, it's just, typically you don't know that going in, but you find out. You will be changed, and you will be changed, and you will be changed. Your heart will be broken. Your heart will be broken open. Same thing with spirit, with community. And I love that my mom really instilled that was not negotiable. I'm really grateful for that. You know, you don't run away when things get tough. You stay, and you work through it, and you be changed. The next one was actually a really difficult one, and I've talked about this before, but you know, my dad passed away when I was 16. So, and I'm an only child of older parents, so I mean, it just would have been a natural fit for me to stay local. And my mom specifically said, you need to go away. Not because she wanted me to go away, but because she knew I needed to. This is one of those where, you know, as parents, you say, it's not what I want, but I know it's what you need. We were so close, and in a lot of ways, when my dad died, I became the partner figure. I kind of held the house together. I took on that role in the family dynamics. So, I mean, it meant even more that she knew I needed to go away. And in the journey of motherhood and the journey of parenthood, sometimes we know something is the right thing to do, even when it is the most excruciating. It means our heart, you know, our heart is walking out into an unknown that we have no control over. But it doesn't mean we say no, or we say you can't go. So I ended up, this is my high school graduation photo, which is actually 19 years ago at this point, which is hard to believe, but true. And I went to one of the farthest, I actually did float the balloon, because I have more of an adventurous spirit of going to school in Europe. That was a big no-go. But she was fine with Boston, so I went to Boston. But I went about as far away as I could go, right? And it was painful, because as much as I have really no idea, I was so desensitized to what she probably was going through. She was probably grieving the loss of my dad and me at the same time, and so there was this extra like clinginess. And as a young adult, you know, when your parents are clingy, what do you do typically? So I was not compassionate, per se. And this is where, you know, for you mothers that are beginning to walk through this, have support. Or for those times when you know it's the right thing to do, to have some separation. And still understand that it's heartbreaking. You know, recognizing the heartbreak and knowing that it's still the right thing to do becomes, you know, a really high part of the path. Love will break your heart, and this family, you know, being a mom will break your heart, and it will break your heart open. And I really acknowledge her for her willingness to not say you have to stay. Those parts and those times in our journey where we have the courage to step into what we know is the right thing to do, whether it's what we want or not. I also wanted to talk a little bit about, I was just at Unity Village this last week in Missouri, which is the headquarters of Unity, where I serve on the board there. And so we had fabulous meetings, and every time I go, you know, it's where Charles and Myrtle Fillmore did their work, or in the Kansas City area in particular, but Unity Farm, which is now Unity Village, and there's evidence of them all over in their teachings. And Myrtle in particular is known as the mother of unity. She really made a connection and a commitment to the children and to families. She was really big on families. And she actually had three boys, which is interesting to note, she really wasn't necessarily a maternal person. She had no interest in cooking. She, in fact, when her son built their house on Unity Farm, which is now Unity Village, he built it without a kitchen. She had no interest in cooking. She had work to do. She had red hair, and she was apparently a spunky spirit. She did not get married until she was 36, which in the late 1800s, I mean, you might as well have been an old woman by then, right? And not had no prospect of getting married. She definitely forged. She was a strong woman, I give Charles credit completely, her husband, because always they are referred to as the co-founders of Unity, which in the late 1800s would not have. It wasn't accepted. It wasn't the primary way that you would say that. So Myrtle was a strong figure. She had her third and final boy when she was at 44. And that was the one that she really loved. I mean, she did not travel with the family. She traveled with Royal. She loved her baby. And he got married, and then when he was in his early 30s, his wife passed away right after childbirth. And so for the next 2 years, his life had changed. Interestingly, in Unity, there's also this piece of, especially with the Fillmores, of focus on regeneration of the body and the idea that eventually you did not have to die. So dying for them was kind of like you weren't enlightened yet. You weren't enlightened enough. So what happened with Royal was that he was really overweight, like obese, and he did not have a healthy system. So he went up to get into what they call a sanatorium, but basically to get well. And he was there a week and he passed away, which became a really devastating piece to, you know, the family, to the point where she really didn't talk about him. She mentioned a couple of things, and this is the piece of the mother's journey that some of us walk through, where we face the unthinkable and bury a child that we don't expect to. And it's one of those tender places that, for those of you who have walked it, it's like your arm is cut off and it will never be the same. Life will never be the same. And what I think happened with Myrtle was that she just let life never be the same. And it was okay. What she said was, in a letter, she said, "We had thought he was improving at Battle Creek, where he had been for a week, and then the news came of his transition, and it was a great shock to us. He had gone away for a complete rest and change of diet, but that brave spirit which concealed his grief from his associates could not deceive the normal action of his organism or his body. And he has laid it down to return to the spirit of love from whence he came." And so there's this sense of, for those of you who are mothers who have walked this part of the journey of motherhood, there's a special connection always with a loved one, with a beloved, of and on almost this tenderness of remembering your baby, remembering that beloved one. And so, you know, Mother's Day might be particularly hard for those who have lost their mother, who have lost a child. And if you know someone who has, I encourage you to reach out and connect with them, hold them. And recognize that love is stronger than death. Even though the body isn't here, there is still a connection. And that can never go away. And the same also with those of us who have lost our mother, who have made their transition, or who have died, as Barbara would say. You know, love is stronger than death. And that soul connection is timeless. When Myrtle was making her own transition, she was really fascinating. She knew her time was done. The doctor said she could probably, if she made a couple of lifestyle changes, she could probably live a lot longer. And she said, "No, I am complete." And she was talking with someone, and she said, "It's time for me to make the change." That's what she called death, the change. "I can help more from the other side than I can from this." So for those of us who have mothers or children on the other side, I invite you to consider that they might be helping in other ways now. "I can help you more from the other side." And she even said, "I can bless the prayer letters from the other side." She was completely at peace and ready to go. You know, the legacy of motherhood, the legacy of you know, how we have come into this world and what we've taken on. You know, events are neutral, beliefs are neutral. It's how we let them shape our reality that determines whether they're positive or negative. And so I encourage you to start to look at the way that your mother, or perhaps your children, or if you are a mother, what kind of legacy you want to leave your children. What did you receive from your mother, and what is being ready to be passed on to the next generation? How was your mother the architect of your evolution? And remember, there's this great quote from Jill Churchill that says, "There is no way to be a perfect mother, and a million ways to be a good one." You're walking your spiritual path. There's no way you're going to be perfect. But you can be a good one. You can keep showing up. You can keep being present. And keep anchoring in love. And thank you. Happy Mother's Day.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.